Welcome to the Pet Loss Companion. I'm Ken Dolan Del Vecchio. I'm here with my friend, Nancy Saxton Lopez, my friend and co-author, Nancy Saxton Lopez. And this is a program that we do every Thursday from 6 p.m. Eastern to about 6:30, give or take. And it is based in the work that we did, the facilitation of pet loss groups that we've both done for many decades now, that we compiled into the book, The Pet Loss Companion, Healing Advice from Family Therapists Who Lead Pet Loss Groups. And that's a book that's available on Amazon. It's linked in the description to this program, whether you're watching live or whether you see it as a rebroadcast or an audio broadcast. And what we do a lot of times on this program is we read your stories of loss and healing. And we're going to do that this evening. And we encourage you to send us your stories. And we want you to know that if you do send us your story, please let us know if it's okay to share on this broadcast and on our Substack, which allows us to share the correspondence that we actually have with you, along with any of the great photos that you send. Of course, if you would prefer that we not share your story, we're still going to respond to you and give you our thoughts. But if you would like for us to share, and it helps a lot of people to hear stories, because there's just so much power in recognizing that you're not alone in what you've been going through. And you can reach me at kenddv@gmail.com. You can reach Nancy at nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. And you can find both of these emails and all the information I'm sharing right here in the beginning in the description that comes along with the broadcast. You can support our program in a number of ways. One is to read the correspondence that we have with listeners on our Substack program. If you want to become a subscriber there is a fee of $5 a month, and that just helps to pay for some of the things that go into doing this work. You can also support us with a gift through Venmo or PayPal or a monthly subscription. This program is a friend of Dakin Humane Society, which is in Springfield, Massachusetts. Dakin is a shelter for rescued animals and an adoption center. And they do a whole bunch of other things that are focused on helping us with the human companion animal bond. And one of the programs that they sponsor is a cost-free Zoom pet loss support group that I facilitate once a month on the second Tuesday of the month, which this coming month will be next Tuesday, March 12th. And I want to stress that it's free. We do want you to RSVP. The group runs from 6 o'clock p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. And you can join from anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. We have people join from many, many different places. It's a real interesting mix of experiences that happens in the sharing of experiences. And again, if you think you will join us, please RSVP as soon as you know you will, because the group fills up really quickly. And we do cap it because it's highly attended. Also, please consider giving the program a thumbs up, subscribing on YouTube. We have it linked. We have a link to YouTube if you're not watching on YouTube, because the more subscriptions we have, the more thumbs up, the more comments, it raises the visibility of the program and the algorithms that help people to find this kind of resource for support with their grieving. And so if you find value in this program, please consider subscribing. And then finally, we just like to let you know that we are connected to, if I can bring this up, we are in an affiliation with a company called Bereave. And Bereave makes these very nicely crafted granite memorial plaques. And you can see the image of one here. You can use it as a marker outside at a gravesite or a memorial garden. Perhaps you can use it inside where you keep mementos of your beloved animal companion. And if you purchase a plaque from Bereave, you will also be giving a measure of support to our program. And Nancy has the plaque that they gave us as an example. We asked them for an example because we wanted to make sure that if we were going to talk about this, that it was something that we thought was valuable. And indeed we do. We think it's quite a beautiful piece of work.
It's very heavy. It's very, you know, it's just gorgeous how it's etched, you know, so.
Yeah. So Nancy, you want to get us started?
Yeah. No, I want to also say we have a comment already. And Marnie has thanked us. Thank you, Marnie, for listening. You know, it's very kind of you. We appreciate that. Yep. So we have a story tonight from Stacy about her Danko. And, you know, this the title is, which we love, My Greatest Love, My Shadow, My Heart. Oh, he's so
this
beautiful.
This is Danko's silver lab.
Oh, my God. I've never seen a silver lab.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And then we're going to talk. We're going to talk afterwards, of course, after we share Stacy's story. Ken and Nancy, reading your book and hearing other stories on your podcast has helped me through the beginning stages of my grief. I'm grateful for you both with a story shared. I also signed up for the Zoom grief meeting on March 12th, and I look forward to joining, though I'm sure it will be emotional, of course. Please feel free to share my story if you think it will help others. It is mostly about a strong bond, as well as anticipatory grief and euthanasia. It is about a 4.5-minute read. The story is below, but I also attach it as a PDF. Thank you. So this is the title, My Greatest Love, My Shadow, My Heart. My boy Danko, a handsome silver lab, came to me in 2010 as a puppy a few short months before my first great loss, my grandfather. Danko was with me through many life experiences, including two relationships, one of which he became my reason to leave. I truly believe he was sent to me to help me through the loss of my grandfather and this journey of life. I didn't know that the day I took him home, though, he was my first dog, and until him, this type and level of love and companionship was unimaginable. We were each other's constant for the next 13 plus years. In several of your podcasts, you mentioned anticipatory grief. It wasn't until I heard this term that I was able to place and make sense of how I felt the last 3 years. In September 2020, Danko had his first surgery to remove some suspicious lumps and bumps. A few of the lumps were mast cell tumors. God, I hate those. One which came back with unclear margins, so another surgery was planned. In December 2020, he went for a second surgery, the surgery that changed it all. While under, his vet did not like the look of his right leg, which had always been a bit puffy, but slowly getting worse. The second surgery ended up being much more invasive than originally planned, and my boy came home in a splint, unable to bend his leg or use stairs for a couple of months alongside daily bandage changes and wound care by me for almost 4 months. With the surgery also came the results. On top of the mast cell tumors, my boy had also subcutaneous hemangiosarcoma, a cancer with a median survival rate of 172 days. Suddenly, reality hit me. My sweet boy is now end of life. In the summer of 2021, we left a five-year-long abusive relationship. We started over again. We thrived together, and he got healthier as I learned who I was all over again. The cancer loomed in the background daily, but my boy somehow flew past that 172 median survival days. He survived to make sure I survived. Fast forward to January 2024. He's slower, arthritic. It's harder for him to keep on weight despite a very healthy appetite, and he has some sudden and new lumps. It's more cancer. It's lymphoma, and it's throughout his body. The choice I was dreading for the last 3 years was undeniably here. On February 4th, 2024, 3 days after test results confirmed a minimum stage 3 lymphoma, my boy was put to rest at home and in my arms. This was the hardest decision I ever had to make, and I just wanted to share my reasons and experience in euthanasia to hopefully help others. My goal always was that he would never suffer in his last days, not even for a minute, that he let my care was respect and dignity and still truly himself. I also wanted to prevent him leaving in a tragic or emergency situation if I could help it. With this new prognosis, there was no other decision. The decline and the suffering in the coming days and weeks was inevitable. He couldn't leave me on his own, and the new cancer I took as a blessing to ensure that my goals for him were met. I realize now I was stuck in anticipatory grief since December of 2020. That part of me is free now. And while it was a horrible place to live and a horrible place to live mentally and emotionally, our bond and connection amplified during that time. He taught me not only how loved I was, but how to truly love selflessly. He was my greatest love, my shadow, my heart.
Well, we want to thank Stacy tremendously for sharing this and also for bringing up the matter about being in an abusive relationship. And we're going to just talk about this a little bit because yeah. We've heard it a number of times. And the first thing I want to say, this is actually an area that I've worked on and studied, been part of an institute that focused on this in times past. And I know Nancy mm-hmm. is well versed in understanding this as well. It's incredibly common. It's way, way, way too prevalent. And it's a wonderful thing that Stacy and Danko were able to leave this relationship. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like, and she said this in a couple of different ways, that the relationship that she had with him was a catalyst with for leaving the relationship. So we want to, first of all, say congratulations that mm-hmm. you and Danko left an abusive situation. And as you said, you really began to come alive in a new way. Like you really began to learn even more about yourself and start over and thrive together and get healthier and all kinds of good things. And so you helped each other through that.
And he lasted longer, right? I mean, he was there than they had anticipated or thought. And she's right. I think that he stayed, you know, to make sure that she was okay.
So right? I just want to stress that if anybody feels like they may be in an abusive relationship, look into the information that's available on the National Domestic Violence Hotline's site. Again, it's the National Domestic Violence Hotline, ndvh.org. And you'll see questionnaires that will help you decide, actually. You may very well know, or you may feel like, I'm not sure. Right. Will help you decide whether the relationship that you're in is healthy. And this also goes very, very much for teen relationships and dating relationships where people have not yet committed to marriage or to living together. Mm-hmm. And so just really, really important to keep that in mind. It is not uncommon for the emergence of a crisis in an abusive relationship around an animal companion.
That's true.
Yeah, because many times the person who is being abusive will turn some of their abuse toward the animal companion as a proxy for hurting the person who is really the guardian of that animal. And so it's something to keep in mind. If a person in a relationship is abusive to your animal companion, that's a way of being abusive to you.
Well, and also there is a big connection with abusive animals in a family and then with children.
Some people will introduce a dating partner to their animal companion to see how they do with them, because it's a measure of how they treat those who are more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And those who are in loving connection with the person who they're dating. It's a gauge, in a sense, for some people. And, you know, it's kind of like if you can't love my cat or my dog or my bird or my rabbit, you can't be loving toward them. That's a red flag.
That's right. No, that's true. And she also went into, I really want to talk about the euthanasia, you know, that she went into knowing that she would never let her Danko suffer.
Yeah.
I mean, euthanasia is an extremely difficult decision, no matter what. And a lot of times, unfortunately, you have to make that decision pretty quickly, right? Yeah. Something has happened. It could be an accident, or all of a sudden it is an illness that has, you know, proliferated, and the animal is just not going to do well. But if you can, I mean, she was very clear that she wanted Danko, you know, to leave her with dignity. Mm-hmm. And with himself, as instead of being like having a crisis or collapsing or going through seizures or whatever that might happen with the cancer. And so that's a lot of contemplation. It's a lot of thoughtfulness, because a lot of times you don't want to let go, right?
Oh, of course.
You don't want to let go.
Yes.
And then, because, you know, a lot of times people will come in and they said, I did it too soon, or I did it too late. I did it too soon. Something else could happen. So I made that euthanasia, or that my animal suffered. I should have done it prior to the suffering. It's such a difficult thing.
And you have to realize that you're not going to get it 100% right. It's just not that kind of issue where you can get it the timing perfect. And also there is a lot of variability in the ways people think about this and when is the right time. And we've heard this all over the place. And there are some people, we've had a number of people who have said, I wanted to make sure that my dog's last day was a good day. They were mm-hmm. feeling okay. And then we had them euthanized because we didn't want them to go through what we knew would be a painful and suffering decline. And that's kind of what it sounds like. That's where Stacy was mm-hmm. with Danko. We've had other people who we've heard from other people who have palliative care for quite a while.
Hospice care
for quite a while. And they will say, as long as there is some element of pleasure in their lives, even if they can't move very well, or even if
they're blind, or they've
lost their hearing, I've made the determination that as long as they're not suffering pain, then mm-hmm. we're going to keep doing hospice or palliative care. And we have to realize that that's okay. It's fine. It's whatever you, your caregivers, your family members, and euthanasia is, I think it's a beautiful gift.
It can be a great way to ease
the transition, which is inevitable. Your animal is dying. You're not going to be.
And you can't control that, nor can you make it better.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. You know, for me, I mean, I've had 8 little pugs that have gone on, right? Mm-hmm. And 2 of them died on their own, and the rest of them were all planned euthanasias because my husband and I had gotten to that place that needed to happen. Yeah. And for some reason, it was harder for me, this is personal, mm-hmm. that they just died. And in one case, I couldn't be with either one of them when they died, which was very difficult. But if I could plan it, because it was going to happen, the suffering was going to be worse, or it needed to happen because of what was going on, you know, in a disease. And I know that the disease is killing my animal, not myself. Then I could cocoon that. You know, and I could be there and I could hold. I mean, our Jackie died a year ago Sunday. And I remember, you know, going there, and they were, the vet was floored because I said, no, he's not well. He's walking in circles. He's howling. He's barking. He's not well. He's got a neurological thing. He was almost 17, right? Yeah. And so Peter and I looked at each other and said, he's been doing this for 2 days now. We can't, we know that this is time. And so, and we were both able to be there and hold him together You know, and it's such a hard thing to do, but we knew that he wasn't himself. He just wasn't.
Well, you point out that if you plan euthanasia, you're going to have mixed feelings about that probably afterwards.
Yeah, sure.
And if they die without you doing that, you're going to have mixed feelings about that. So there's no, you know, there's no way out of this generally without some degree of
guilt,
just guilt and worry and
worry and concern.
And it's interesting too, what you said. I was thinking, as you said, it was worse for you when they died naturally, because at least with euthanasia, you're able to provide them with some relief. Right. And you also are given this tiny, tiny measure of control.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Tiny measure, because you plan it.
You can plan when you're not, you can't control the illness. You can't control the fact that they're dying, but you have some degree of control over when it happens, how it happens. And, you know, one of the things that we know is that when we have a loss, we are fraught with the feeling that things are out of control.
Right.
And so we try to have some measure of control. Just want to share also, we have a comment from Grace, who said, so very true. The euthanasia decision is so difficult. I had to view it as being able to take on the pain of living without my soul pet, then have to endure one more minute of pain. Well, that's the comment that that's kind of an echo of the comment that we heard from Angela a couple weeks ago.
Right.
It's so brilliant. And I'm glad that Grace is bringing it up again, that, you know, their suffering ends, our
suffering begins.
Is activated, like our suffering starts. And like, but that's the process. That's where we have to go. We have to start then transitioning from having them in our lives in a as a physical presence to
having them spiritually.
Memories
and spirit. Yep. And that was interesting what Stacy said, is she believed that Danko picked her, right? You know, that was something, that he was there to help her go through and heal from her grandfather's death.
Yeah.
So
and later on she said, he survived to help make sure I survived.
Yeah. This is what our animals, this is our bond with them.
Yeah,
you know, I've heard that sometimes a pet parent, a guardian, and the pet would get sick at the same time, and the pet would die, and the person would live, right? And say, you know, he created, or she created it, that I could live. Mm-hmm. People have said that, which is interesting. That's how they're seeing it, but. You know, they are there to help us and to give us all these wonderful gifts.
And they do. I mean, once again, all my animals, animal companions, my two dogs, my cat, my chickens also, I would say, are emotional support.
Hey!
Unofficially.
Mine?
Maybe unofficially. I don't know. Pretty officially, though.
Chickens are good.
But I'm always petting my dogs when I'm anywhere near them.
Well, hey, listen, there's nothing like petting your dog or your cat. It does, or whatever animal it is. It could be a horse, it could be a rabbit, it could be a guinea pig, it doesn't matter.
Talking to your chickens.
Talking to your chickens is good. There's a lot of people now that have bearded dragons that actually crawl up their body and hang out, and they
My husband has a friend who has a tortoise who comes when he's called and snuggles. It's amazing the bonds we can have with lots of different kinds of animals. So, well, I guess that's.
Yeah, let me finish with what we talked about with Tyler Perry. Okay, so I saw this today and I wrote it down. It was a little video. I don't remember what social media was on, and he was with Oprah, and he was talking about grief. And so his stance on it is, you've got to get to the opposite. And I guess he was in an audience. A woman had a question, and she had just started with, my mother had died, and started to cry. And the woman said, I'm sorry. And he said, no, 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 no. He said, Grief is a living thing. It visits randomly. You can't schedule it away. You can't work it away. You can't drink it away. You can't wish it away. And when it shows up, you let it be, right? And then when he talked about the opposite, he says, look, you're going through hell. This is, you know, not exact words, but I tried to write it down. You're going through pain. You're going through difficulty. You're going through hell. But as you go through the journey of grief, you want to get to the opposite so that you integrate, so that you are at peace, so that you are in love with your soul, with your animal and your soul, and that you have some sort of acceptance. And that's the journey. So I thought that was interesting. I thought we would share it.
Yeah, I mean, wise words, and it takes whatever time it takes. And, you know, acceptance, I always have a little bit of I challenge that idea a little bit, because we certainly accept reality, but we're changed. We're not exactly.
Well, we're definitely changed. Well, maybe integration is better, but you have to integrate the loss into your life, you know, how you live.
Yeah. But it's great that all of those very wise words. And it's great that he said, no, you don't have to apologize for what you're experiencing. Yeah. So we want to thank Stacy for sharing her story of Danko, and also just close also to remind you, if you find this program helpful, please do subscribe on YouTube, because that's helpful for raising the visibility of the program.
And we want to thank Marty and Grace too for your comments.
For your comments, absolutely. Okay, have a good night.
Take care,
Nancy.